Is it possible to lose eternal reward? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, we are wrapping up our series on eternal rewards. Up until this point, we have been studying through a book that I wrote called Eternal Reward, It Will Pay to Obey. But now we're going off script, and in this discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, we talk about the possibility of losing rewards. Find out what that's all about in this discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're here with Lucas Kitchen. We've been doing a series on eternal rewards based on his book, Eternal Rewards Will Pay to Obey. So far, he's had a pretty easy job because we've just been going chapter by chapter. But now we are going to challenge him because now we are going off topic and we're just going to raise some objections and questions and we're going to see if he has anything to contribute.
That's a genius idea.
Do you like
Sean.
That idea?
Love it. Love it.
This is where we shine, I think. So one of the things issues we raised is we've talked a lot about rewardability and the positive aspect of those things. And we've hinted at this idea that the negative side of that is loss. We've emphasized the positive of ruling with Christ and having all these rewards, but there's also the seemingly negative of not having those rewards. So what's that all about? We need to discuss that.
I know this might sound odd, but a lot of politicians today are concerned about something they call income inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked in this series about how there will be reward inequality.
Even income inequality
in the kingdom.
Yeah. There's going to be a working economy.
What do you think? Lucas looks like he's swallowed a pickle.
What have I walked myself into?
No, tell us what you think, Lucas.
Well, let me read this verse. 2 John 8. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose, notice that word, lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. I mean, it's interesting in this verse that he mentions both the word loss and the word reward. One thing we need to notice here is that this is John talking to believers whom he loved and who he was counting on to continue. But notice what he says, that this is a reward that we have worked for. And so he's concerned about his own reward. I mean, his own rewardability in this context. And so to me, this just says really clearly that there is something at stake, especially considering how we finish. He's implying that those who he's talking to have done well so far, but the way that they finish is going to matter on whether or not they receive a full reward.
That's a good point. And notice here, the problem is not that John himself has failed to persevere or failed to do a good work. His concern is that people he's discipled may fall away, and if they do, we won't receive our full reward. Of course, that's the majority text. The critical text reads, you won't receive the full reward. But I think what John is saying is his rewards are tied in with the people he's discipled continuing on. And we see that same theme, for example, in Galatians, where Paul is concerned that he had run in vain, that his ministry among the Galatians might be ruined by the Judaizers who were bewitching them,
right,
chapter
right.
3. So it seems to me that one type of loss is if you disciple someone and spend a lot of time with someone and they do not continue on, you're not going to get your full reward for discipling them.
Right. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 especially.
Right.
Let me just read that, because a lot of people quote this as a salvation verse, and it might be an interesting verse about loss of reward instead. Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." I have had this verse quoted to me so many times as a proof against salvation by faith alone. And they read this verse to me, and what they see is they think it means unrighteous people can't be born again. But that's not what Paul says.
No.
Paul says the unrighteous will not inherit, that's a reward term,
right?
Will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so this is really a rewards verse, and it's a warning because it tells us if these things characterize your life you can be a believer, but if these things characterize your life, you will be disinherited.
Right, which refers to not ruling. This expression, inheriting or not inheriting the kingdom, is found here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. It's found in Galatians 5, 19-21, and it's also found in Ephesians 5, 5-7. And if listeners go to our website, faithalone.org, they can see an article I wrote, Christians Who Lose Their Legacy, faithalone.org.
So it's possible you can be born again by faith, apart from works, by simply believing in Jesus for everlasting life. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, there's only one condition to be born again, simple belief. You don't have to stop sinning to be born again. However, and you're eternally secure the moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life. However, if these sins, these types of sins, characterize your life, if you're unrepentant of these things, what's at stake is this loss of inheritance.
Well, notice how verse 11 brings that out. And such were some of you. Okay, so now he's going to say, but you're not that way anymore. But he doesn't talk about their experience. He talks about their position. But you were washed. That doesn't refer to their experience. That refers to their position. You were sanctified. He's not talking about present sanctification. You are being sanctified. He's talking about having been set apart for the family of God. And you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Right.
All three of those are positional truths. So what Paul is saying is, look, you in your position are not like that anymore. But we do know from later in chapter 6 that they were going to temple prostitutes. Well, that's immorality.
Right.
One of the things he says, if you do such things, you won't inherit the kingdom. Right. And we do know they had problems with divisions. They had problems with taking one another to court earlier in chapter 6.
Sure.
They had lots of issues that jeopardized their possibility of ruling, and that would be laws.
Right, absolutely.
I've got another one, Sean.
All right, go for it.
It's 1 Corinthians 3:15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. The word for he himself will suffer loss is a verb, zamiao, that was used of contractors. And let's say a contractor was building a building.
Mm-hmm.
They did everything fine except they fouled up on a door. Well, then they would not be paid for that door. They would suffer loss concerning that part of the project.
Mm.
And Paul, I don't think, is saying here that you're going to have some people at the judgment seat of Christ who get not even one reward, not even a little bit of treasure, not even a little bit of something. Obviously, there'll be lots of people who don't endure and are not going to rule. But in terms of reward, I think what he's saying is this. If a person has something which is burned up, which we all will have, something which doesn't have eternal value, well, we're not going to be rewarded for that. So we'll suffer loss in that sense. So basically what this is saying is we want to minimize, you called it binge-watching TV or maybe playing lots of golf or playing lots of softball or fishing a lot or hunting. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But if they gobble up too much of our time, we don't have much time left for reward.
All right, what I just heard you say, it sounded like you were saying that everybody's going to get rewarded at some level.
I think they will, but that's controversial.
But then what about this disinheritance passage about, you know, idolaters?
I think that looks at ruling.
Okay.
Not at all reward.
Interesting.
But that. Now, would you agree, Lucas, or do you think that some believers will get absolutely zero reward?
You know, when Jesus talks about storing up treasure, that sounds like something that's being stored up currently. When he says store up treasure in heaven, he then implies that it's not in jeopardy because moths can't eat it away, thieves can't steal it, which what it feels like he's saying is you can store up some type of treasure that you wouldn't lose. And so my theory, and I admit it's a theory, is that the full experience of reigning with Christ, having treasure, having all these things that we've talked about requires being faithful until the end. But
right.
There seems to be some treasure for even giving a cup of cold water to someone in the name of the Lord. And so The bar is so low for gaining some reward that it's hard to imagine that someone would have nothing. Is it theoretically possible? I guess it's theoretically possible, but it seems unlikely to me.
So throughout the course of your life, every believer is probably making some type of deposit in the heavenly bank, and that stays there until the judgment seat of Christ. You don't lose it.
Right, that's
you don't
what
lose
I say.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can waste a lot of time on non-rewardable things, and so in that sense, you're losing out on what you could have had. Is that what you're saying?
Right, and you can also fail to endure, and then you will miss out on ruling with Christ and all of the overcomer rewards that go with it, like the hidden manna, the right to the tree of life, entering the New Jerusalem by its gates, the special white garments, all the things that go along with that require endurance. But there are some rewards that don't. At least the treasure doesn't seem to require endurance, and we don't know what goes along with that, but at least treasure. The moment we do something that's rewardable, there's a ka-ching in heaven, and we've laid up treasure. Mm. But if I don't endure to the end, well, then all I'm going to get is the ka-chings I laid up, but I'm not going to rule. I'm not going to get any of the things associated with rulers. I'm not going to be an overcomer. And so the most important is to endure to the end, and more importantly is to do that from the beginning of your Christian life to the end. But I've met people before who said, I'm in my 60s, and this is the first time I've heard of eternal rewards. And they said, I've been a Christian since I was 18 or 15, and now I'm learning it. And I said, well, start now. Yeah. Start making a conscious effort to lay up more treasure, to be faithful to Christ, to endure in your experience. Surely they'd laid up some things leading up to that, but their point was, I don't think I laid up as much as I could have. Why? Because they weren't even thinking about it.
Well, now the good thing, though, is they were laying up treasure without knowing about it necessarily.
Right, right.
Every time they were loving someone, every
right.
time they were pursuing Christ. Whether they knew, I bet there are some listeners here now who are maybe worried for a second. They said, wait, do I not get rewarded if I don't know about eternal rewards?
Yeah.
No, I think you've been laying up treasure ever since you've been trying to live out your faith in Christ. But now that you know, now you can be a lot more intentional about wanting to rule with Christ and having intimacy with Him and having treasure in heaven.
Knowing that there are eternal rewards and that there are loss of eternal rewards possible highly motivates us to look to Jesus each day, to keep our focus on Him. As the Lord Himself said, we're watching for His soon return because we long to hear Him say, well done, good servant.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion about the potential loss of the opportunity for rewards. I know that I don't want that, and I don't think you want that either. It's an encouragement to stay faithful. Well, maybe you'd like to get your own copy of the book that we've been talking about in this series, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. If that's the case, you can do so by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can click on the button that says Store and get your very own copy. While you're there, you might as well take advantage of our many free resources. You can get a free subscription to our magazine, our blog post, and our podcast. These are specifically designed to help you grow in your understanding of Scripture. I hope you'll take advantage of all of this and much more that's at faithalone.org. Now, you might be interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace and Focus, and if that's the case, it would be very much appreciated. You can find out how to do that as well at faithalone.org. You might even like to send us a message. Let us know what you think about the show. You can do that by email. Our email address is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to finally finish up our series on eternal rewards, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.